Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Yeah, you can. Amen. I'm glad to be home. I'm glad to be back. Didn't realize I'd be in this situation. And here, I enjoyed traveling and preaching. I didn't like the driving. You know, Brother Jim knows you. You leave one meeting, you get in your car, and you're on the road for 15, 16 hours to another place and another hotel room and another fast food joint. And you know, you don't got time to stop and eat dinner. You got to get fast food to hit the road because you got to be somewhere to preach. But I enjoyed that. But I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be helping preacher. Pray for him. Send them a text, let them know you're praying for them. Hospital's a lonely place. If you've ever been in a hospital at night, it's a lonely place. And it's a great place for Satan to show up and discourage you. So pray for him. Text them, let them know you're praying for him. And pray that God will give the doctor some answers and they can figure out what's going on. Glad to be in church this morning. Say amen.
Amen.
So y'all do know how to say it. Y'all talk in church because I hear you all the time. But you're having conversations. If you're glad to be in church, say glory to God.
Glory to God.
Yeah. I'm not a Pentecostal. We were doing this way before the Pentecostals ever were. Got a Bible. Hold it up. Let me see it. Say amen.
Amen.
See, you're allowed to do that in church. You're allowed to talk in church. You can help me preach. Say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. It's all right. We're allowed to do that. Some of you look like you're at the dentist's office. You got a smile, man. You're at church. You're at church, man. This is supposed to be a happy place. You can't enjoy church now. You ain't going to enjoy heaven. There's going to be a lot of shouting. There's going to be a lot of praising.
There's
going to be a lot of singing. I like to sing. I can't do it, but I like to do it. They pay me not to, but I like to. But it's okay. It's okay to put your hand in the air. It's all right. Nobody's going to think you're a goof, a freak. You can do it. Mr. Lancaster, I just don't feel like I can shout because of my circumstances. Listen, your circumstances shouldn't dictate your joy in the Lord.
Amen.
And if that's the case, just shout on credit. Amen? Take your Bibles, open to Galatians chapter number 6. I'm used to travel. When I travel, I usually bring my whole file of sermons. I'm not supposed to preach tonight, and I wrote a sermon for tonight, and then the preacher asked me yesterday if I preached Sunday morning. So then I was like, do I preach the one I wrote for Sunday night, Sunday morning, or do I write another one? So I got two. Well, I had one here, and God was laying something on my heart, and I went up to the office of Mrs. Gilman. I said, I got to print out another sermon. I don't know what God's doing, what he's going to do, which one I'm going to preach. But I'll do what God wants me to do, and we'll be better off. Galatians chapter number 6, we'll start in verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think of himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But every man prove his own work. Then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Verse 6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth in his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth in the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for an opportunity to be here. Thank you for an opportunity to be in this place and behind this pulpit. Lord, I pray that I could be a blessing to these people. Lord, to help. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit would take control of this service, my mind, my thoughts, my lips. Lord, I pray that I say everything you want me to and nothing that you don't. But Lord, ultimately, we pray somebody get saved today, Lord, and know that you are their Savior by the time they leave this place. Father, I pray that you bless all that's said and done. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to look at verse number 9 one more time. And say, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. How many of you have ever been weary? Yeah, we get that way. We get weary when we are tired and feel underappreciated, that we don't get enough credit. The credit we should be looking for is from the Lord. Faithfulness, dedication, and loyalty and availability are the best attributes a servant can have. But even with these attributes, our life, we can still get heavy hearts, tired, and weary in well-doing. While we can expect to be disappointed in our Christian life, we must keep going. Being weary is a dangerous spot to be in. I know a man and his wife who sat out in this parking lot one day. One of my best friends. His wife looked at him and said, I really don't feel like living like this no more. And he said, neither do I. He walked in that front door, walked out here, went into that hallway, walked in the preacher's office, and dropped his keys on preacher's desk. Walked out that door. Can I tell you, he was weary in well-doing. He was tired. See, we don't make proper decisions when we're tired. He was tired. Can I tell you today, they're not married anymore? Can I tell you, his life is a mess? I get the phone calls at 3 o'clock in the morning. Fred, what do I do? Well, you know what to do. You know how to fix it. See, they sat out there. Man, my voice changed. They sat out there weary and well-doing. I can tell you that being weary and well-doing is not a place to be. But how can we not be weary and well-doing? I'm glad you asked. God gave me a couple things. I was thinking about being weary and well-doing. Number one, to keep from being weary and well-doing, number one, we need to realize the time is short. Yes. The time is short. Look at Ephesians chapter number 5. Look at verse 14. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Time is short, folks. Now, I'm not a doomsayer, but I don't know how much longer God can stay, keep Jesus from coming back. Look all around us. The earth is wicked. It's corrupt. It's just like when Noah was alive. This earth is a bad place right now. But the time is short, and the job we have to do, we have a short amount of time. I still believe we can have revival, but it's going to take us praying and working and doing those things and have revival in our own hearts so revival can break out once again. But I don't know how much time we have, but I do know this, it's short. Now, Paul thought he was going to see Jesus come back. He thought it was short, too. But between prophecy and the things going on this earth, I don't think it's long. Now, I might not see it, but I don't think it's long. We must realize that time is short. Turn to Psalms chapter 90. The Bible says in Psalms 90, verse 10, the days of our years are 70, and if by reason of strength they be 80, yet is their strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. See, God has a plan. The days of our years are 70. That's 70 if you don't know. And if by reason we get 80, that's 80. That's not a long time, folks. 80 years is not a long time. See, time is short. Time is short. Can I tell you this? If you're over 70, you're living on borrowed time. Just what God said. Now, I know some people live longer and some people live shorter, but he said 70. And by reason of strength, you might get 80. But it's borrowed time. If you live to 70, you have lived 25,550 days. If you live to the age of 60, you have lived 21,900 days. If you live to 50, you've lived 18,250 days. 40, 14,600. 30, 10,950. 20 years, you've lived 7,300 days. That's not very long, is it? But let me say this. If you are 60 and you've lived 21,900 days, you only have 3,650 days left. I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but time is short. If you live 50 years, you have 7,300 days left. If you're 40, you have 10,950 days left. If you're 30, you have 14,600 days left. And if you're 20 years old, you have 18,250 days left. Listen, folks, that time is short. You break it down to days, it doesn't seem as long as saying 80 years. See, time is short, and we need to take the bull by the horns, and we need to get the job done as Christians. Time is short. What are you going to do with your time? The time that God's afforded you in your lifetime, what are you going to do with it? Not much time left for some of us in this room. I got about 7,000 days left. That's scary to me when I read it that way. I'm only 50. Well, I got 20 years left. Nah, I got 7,000 days, though. That's scary to me. See, time is short. We got to realize that we don't have forever to reach this world. Time is short. How can we not get weary and well-doing? Realize the time is short and we have a job to do. Number two. Realize we must be all in. All in. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 15 and 17. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. I've learned a few things about addicts. And an addict will do whatever he has to do to get what he wants. He will do whatever he has to do to get what he wants. Why don't we do what we have to do to get to church? See, the addict's got to have it. He's got to have the next fix. He's got to stick that needle in his arm. He's got to take the next snort. He's got to take the next drink. And he'll do whatever to do to get it, but we don't do what we have to do to get to the church house. Are y'all in? Are you addicted? See, I've been doing this for a long time, and I don't know where I'd be if I didn't come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday school, soul winning, working about what I don't know what I'd be doing. I just got saved and decided I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. Come to church when the doors are open, go do what I'm going to do, serve the Lord, do whatever I have to do. And I've been doing that for over 20 years. I don't know no different. I just get in my car and come. Sunday night at 6 o'clock, I get in my car and come. Wednesday night, I get in my car at 6:30. I don't know nothing different. That's what I do. Super Lincoln, are you addicted to the ministry? Absolutely. There's nothing better. I could sit home and watch TV. I could be watching the NCAA March Madness right now. What's that going to do for me? Except get me mad. Well, Kentucky's winning, so I'm good. But listen, we need to decide and put purpose in our heart that, look, we're going to get in. You know, it's kind of like sitting at the pool and you stick your foot in and, oh, it's cold. Man, just jump in all at one time. Get it over with. Unless you live in Texas. When we lived in Texas, we were swimming in February. Praise God, I miss Texas right now. I was swimming in February. Huh? But are you going to get all in? The time is short, folks. There's not a better time to get all in and get going. Well, brother, I'm 70 years old. So what? You're 70 years old. You can still go knock on doors. You can still go to a nursing home. You can still put tracts in an envelope and mail them to the community. You can still sit in the nursery. You can still help in the church project. By the way, get involved in the church project. Downstairs is done. Go look at it. It's nice. You know, when we built this half of our church used to be on the other side of that wall, if you don't know. That's how big it was. I mean, you sit on one side of the aisle and sneeze, the lady on the far end, her hair moves. That's how close we were in there. But man, what a day. You come in here, this was done, and we came down. First service we had in here, man, it was awesome to sit down and say, man, I had a part in this. Get involved. Time is short. You know, Abraham wanted a son. God promised him a son. God gave him a son. But then God said, you got to give him back. Abraham took his son to the altar and laid him down. But can I tell you, Isaac's not who God wanted. God didn't want Isaac. He wanted Abraham. And he wanted that Abraham to do that to prove his dedication to the Lord. He didn't want Isaac. Isaac wasn't what he was after. He was after Abraham. We have Isaacs in our life. We just got to lay him down. God might not take it away. He didn't take away Isaac, but God wants to know that thing that hinders you from church, you're willing to give it up. You're willing to say, God, you're more important to me than this. He may let you keep it, but if it's hindering you from coming to church, that's not good. We need to start working like it all depends on us and pray like it all depends on God. Pat Riley said this. Pat Riley was a coach of the LA Lakers, won a couple championships. He made this quote. He said, there are only two options regarding commitment. You're either in or you're out. Nothing in between. You're either in or you're out. It's about time some of us Christians step in. Time is short. We have a job to do. Ushers, do the job. Do your job to the best of your ability. A lot of time, you're the first person anybody ever meets when they come to a church. Look professional. Pay attention to detail. Bus workers, work like it all depends on you. Pray like it all depends on God. One more kid, one more stop. Press on, don't quit. Sunday school teachers, study hard. Prepare like every Sunday is your last lesson you'll ever teach. Love them kids. You might be the only Bible they ever read. You might be the only person they ever see that claims the name of Christ. Because you know when they go home to the cesspool they live in, they're not getting Bible. If you've been around here any length of time, you have to understand those bus kids don't come from Christian homes. I've been in the homes. Some of them ain't very pretty. We have a job to do. And it's about time we get into that job and we get going because time is short. And we got to lay those things down that hinder us that we can move on. Number three. Let me back up a second here. No, I'm good. Results. Number three, the results are up to God. How can we not be weary in well-doing? We have to realize that the results are up to God and not us. The results are up to God and not us. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6 and 7 says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. See, we just got to go. We just got to do, and God gives the increase. Now, the Bible says that God's word doesn't return void. We put it out there, sooner or later it's going to grab hold of something. But he's responsible for it, not us. We just need to go, and we need to do. And I don't understand how... I don't understand how Christians cannot be involved. It bothers me. See, our service to God is our thank you for him saving us. How thankful are you? See, God didn't save us to sit on 16 inches of pew. In my case, maybe 24 inches of pew. That's a fat joke. See, God saved us to do something. Something. Brother Lancaster, I don't know if I could be a Sunday school teacher. Well, maybe you could be a helper. But I don't know if I could be a bus captain. Well, maybe you could just be a worker on the bus. I don't have much talent. Neither do I. But what I have, I want to use. See, because at the end, I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. See, because one day, we're going to stand in front of him. And my question is, are you ready to do that? If you're ready to, if you died right now, are you ready to stand in front of God? Are you ready to stand there? Not for your sin, but for your works. Lee Robertson, some of you know who he is, some of you don't. He was a preacher. At the age of 93, he was still traveling the country preaching. He was in the hospital on his deathbed. The doctor told his son-in-law, we have to operate, he's not going to make it. But I want you to tell him, chicken doctor. His son-in-law went in there and said, Dad, they're telling me you're not going to make it. At the age of 93, in his deathbed, tears running down his eyes. He said, there's so much more that I wanted to do for Jesus. 93, folks, still running the country, flying every Monday and Tuesday, preaching everywhere. At 93, he said, there's so much more I wanted to do for Jesus. What an attitude, what an example to just keep going on for God. See, but God's in charge of the results. We labor and the results are not there like they used to be. We spend hours working, bus ministry, Sunday school, soul winning. We just don't see any results and we get weary in well-doing. But can I tell you that there's an unseen hand behind the scene working that we don't see? That we don't see. Not everybody's going to get saved. Some people are already saved. But see, if we just go. Brother Ken and Miss Elke are sitting here. I knocked on their door 20 years ago. I'm the reason he's here. And I'm not saying, I'm just joking with that. It's my fault he's here. No. Be careful when he shakes your hand because he'll squeeze it. But he just said to me today, he said, 18 years ago, you knocked on my door. I told him it was 20 years ago. You remember that, don't you, sir? He was working in his garage. I invited him to church. He was already saved. He was going to church that was getting rid of the King James Bible, and he wasn't happy. But see, you don't know. I left his house and went home. I said, that guy's never going to show up. He told me he was going to, but I've heard that 1,000 times. Oh, yeah, I'll come to church. I pulled up here in my bus, and I looked behind me, and there was their car. And them two were in it, and they've been here ever since. We just never know, folks. We just never know. The results are up to God. My favorite quote ever is from Brother Hiles. It says, success is on the same road as failure, but it's just a little farther down the road. Success is on the same road as failure, but it's just a little farther down. Hey, don't quit. Keep going. And down the end of the road, success comes in. But see, oftentimes we quit too early before God opens the door and shows us what he had for us. We've already quit because it's too hard, and we don't want to handle. We're not seeing results, and we get weary and well-doing, and we quit. When just a little bit further down the road, the success comes in. How do we not get weary and well-doing? Number one, we realize time is short. Number two, we need to get all in. And number three, we need to remember that the results are up to God and not us. Maybe you've been wearying and well-doing. Listen, Noah, Jeremiah, Isaac, you think Noah was successful? By our standards today, 8 people out of the whole world got on the ark. We would say Noah's a failure. How do you think God judges that? Think he says Noah was a failure? I don't think so. 8 people. Don't worry about the results. They're up to God. Listen, if we had to base our salvation on our results, we'd all die and go to hell. But we don't have to. We just have to go. We have to do. We have to everything we can do. Have compassion on people. You don't know where people are at in their life. You don't know what's going on in somebody's life. Have compassion. Be a Christian. That's what it's all about. Just be a Christian. Invite people to church. Easter's coming. The Holly Lily Club. Holly at Christmas, Lily and Easter. They got a club. That's when they only come to church. I'm just here to give you 3 points, folks, just to say, hey, we don't have to be weary and well-doing. Because we got a God in heaven that's capable of doing anything. And he gives us the ability to do what we do. He gives us the ability. But we just have to do it. See, I learned a long time ago, about 3 years ago, when God called me in evangelism. I said, you're crazy. There ain't no way, Lord. He said, yeah, there is. Because I'm the one calling you. You're not calling yourself. I'll give you the ability. See, we don't ever know what God can do through us until we yield all we have to Him. See, if we fully surrender and say, God, my life is yours, whatever you want, I'll do. We don't know what we're capable of. I believe his name was Edward Kimball. I know his last name was Kimball. I don't know if his first name was Edward. Was Edward? How many know who Edward Kimball is, other than Brother Jim? How many know, if I mentioned the name D.L. Moody, how many know who D.L. Moody is? Edward Kimball's the man that led D.L. Moody to the Lord. Nobody knows who Edward Kimball is. And through there was a chain of preachers through the ages that had gotten saved. Through that one man witnessing the D.L. Moody in the shoe store and him getting saved, that led to preachers throughout the history of what we do. But see, we don't know who Edward Kimball is. We know D.L. Moody because he's famous. But see, Edward Kimball just said, listen, the results are up to God, not to me. So maybe you're weary in well-doing. You don't have to be. Maybe you want to jump in. Mr. Lancaster, it's just time that I give myself to God and do whatever he wants me to do. We've got to realize the time is short. We don't have long. But I know this. You're glad that somebody reached you with the gospel. Is there anybody in here sorry they ever got saved? You just say, man, I wish I never would have ever accepted Jesus as my Savior. Not a one of us. So why aren't we telling more people? If it's so good for you, why isn't it good for your neighbor? I get this guy at work. He goes to a Chuck E. Cheese church. And I've tried for 3 weeks to get that guy to invite me to church. He has no idea what I do. I talk to him. And I've been trying to get that guy to invite me to church, and he will not. I've done everything except, can I come to your church? Invite myself. I've done everything, and he will not invite me to church. I talk to him every, how was church Sunday? He just thinks I'm a nice guy. He has no ideas I'm a Baptist preacher. If he did, he probably wouldn't even talk to me anymore. But he said, oh, man, we had a good time. We had 3 services, and, yeah, we were praising the Lord, and the music was good. I said, really? I said, how's the preaching? Oh, it's awesome. Yeah, where's your church at? I've asked him 900 questions. That dude will not invite me to church. I don't know why. He's done everything but, and I've asked all the questions. He will not invite me to church. Folks, it shouldn't be like that. It's not hard to invite somebody to church. Listen, you go through a drive-thru, a McDonald's, whatever one, they always take tracts. They don't care. Okay, I'll read it. It's not hard. Time is short. Listen, if everybody in this room handed out 10 tracts a week, that'd be a lot more tracts going out than go out now. And 10 is nothing. When I was in Bible college, our personal soul winning class, our teacher gave us 20 tracts every class. And he said, by the next week, I want them gone. Now, you understand, when you're in Bible college, you got a lot of things going on. I said to Melissa, I said, how in the world am I going to get rid of 20 extra tracts a week? You know what I did? I went to everybody's favorite spot, Wally World. There's a lot of people at Wally World. And there was a little strip mall there, and I would just go there and walk down. As they were walking from store to store, I would just say, hey, can I invite you to church? Let you come to church. Grace Baptist Church down here on Town Line Road. Oh, okay. 20 tracks in 10 minutes. But it wasn't hard. And nobody threw it back at me. Some even said thank you. Now, when somebody says thank you, that's a bonus when you're handing out tracks. That's just, you know, that's like coconut cream pie right there. By the way, I like coconut cream pie. If you ever make any, you got extra, just bring it. I'll take care of it. Just don't tell my wife. Because, not because she'll take it to eat it, she'll take it from me because of the sugar. But seriously, we get weary in well-doing. I get weary in well-doing. See, when we get weary in well-doing, we do things and say things we normally wouldn't do because we're tired. I'm going to tell myself, I think the only person in this room that knows this is my wife. I don't remember the year. It was before I left for Bible college, so I don't know. What year was Steve Hodge here? 2000s. Yeah, well, I know that. let's say 2002. I'd been in this church for a while, probably 10 years or so, working with the teenagers, working the bus ministry, teaching Sunday school, junior church, anything, whatever needed to be done. Preacher came to us one day and he said, I'm going to hire a youth pastor. I said, oh, okay. Who is he? He told me who he was. But can I tell you, I agreed with him. I went through with everything with him. But can I tell you, at that point in time, I was weary and well-doing, and I got so mad. Nobody even knows this except my wife. I was so mad I almost left this church. Because here I was laboring with these kids, and why can't he hire me? He's hiring somebody else. Why can't he hire me? I was mad. I remember I went out there and started cutting that grass, and the whole time I was cutting that grass, I'm like, bleep. No, I'm just kidding. No bleeps. I was out there cutting that grass. You know what, though? I didn't stop serving God. The preacher never knew. He does now, but he never knew then. He never knew. But see, I wasn't ready, and I didn't understand that. All I know is I wanted to serve God. That's why God sent me to Bible college. See, you learn a lot of things in Bible college, just not in the classroom. If you're a marriage student, you learn more outside the classroom than you do in the classroom. See, because before I left, I already had my doctrine. I already had my standards. I already had my convictions. I already had my Bible. See, I learned a lot of stuff outside the classroom, how to trust God, how to be busy for God. But here's the key thing. Just because you're busy for God doesn't mean you're spiritual. You could just be a good worker. Busyness doesn't equal spirituality. You hope it does, but it doesn't mean it. Time is short. What are you going to do with the time God's given you? Hey, some of us only have 7,300 days to go. Huh? And don't come say your math's off because I didn't count leap year. No, I didn't count leap year. That's 4 days extra. That's a bonus. God wants to give it to you. But it's about time we get busy, folks. This church can be full. Can be full. Just think, if everybody in here brings one person, this crowd would be double. One would be double. And there'd probably be very little room in here right now. Let's see, we can't get weary in well-doing. We can't back down. We can't quit. We need to keep going. We need to be all in and let God give the results. We just got to be faithful, obedient, available to do what he has for us to do. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Father, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to preach. Lord, thank you for the message. I pray, Lord, that you'd help me. I pray, Lord, that you'd help these people. Lord, I pray if there's somebody here right now that's weary and well-doing, Lord, they'd come at an old-fashioned altar and leave it here. Lord, that thing that hinders them, Lord, that Isaac that they have in their life that they need to lay down at the altar, I pray, Lord, that they would lay it down. Father, I pray if there's somebody here that's not saved, not sure the heavens is their home, I pray, Lord, that they would get that settled today. Lord, I pray that you'd bless this invitation. And Lord, I pray that you'd bless these people. Be with our preacher. Strengthen him and lift him up. We'll pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 294 in your hymn books. The altar's open. If you need to come. So I don't know if people come. I'm coming to the altar for. That's right. They don't know. You can come down here and not worry about one thing. Just come down here and do business with God. The altar's open. Open for business. Are you weary? Just come down to the altar and get a drink. You need to be saved? Don't leave here without knowing Jesus Christ is your Savior. There's things to do. Time is short. Some have come. How about you? It's a great place to lay your burden down. Are you all in? Brother Julio, will you close our service with prayer, please?